This morning, we're going to continue our series in the book of Luke. So, for those of you who do bring your Bibles with you, you can turn to Luke 6. Turn with me to Luke 6, 17. Luke 6, verses 17 through 23. We've been kind of all over the place, sometimes going through Luke, sometimes we have guest speakers, but we're going to work our way through the book of Luke just to get a feel for it and see what the physician had to say about the life of Christ. But before we get in, I'm going to ask the Lord to help me and help us open up His Word to us this morning. Father God, Lord, may Your name be blessed this morning. Be well pleased, Lord, by our worship of You as we get into Your Word. The way that we can worship You now is by opening up our hearts to You, opening up our ears to You, listening for the message that You have for us this morning. Father, we never want to leave getting into Your Word without being changed or moved or transformed in some way. We desire to hear Your voice. So, Lord, quiet our hearts this morning as we sit at Your feet, as we listen for Your voice through Your servant Luke. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, my friend Mark Henderson and I used to go to a small community college in a suburb of Chicago, and we'd share the gospel with college students there. We'd share the gospel with college students there, and what we'd do is we'd just go up to college students and we would share with them. We had a survey. We'd say, "Hey, look, we're just doing an informal survey, and just wanted to see if you want to participate. We're just doing this for a class," and most people were pretty open to it. We found that particularly we'd go out, there's a place where there was a lot of smokers, and smokers were the best because they were just, you know, out there having a smoke and just, you know, hanging out. So, like, sure, we'll talk with you. So we'd go out there, and once, a lot of times what we do is we approach groups. I mean, sometimes there'd be just one person, but sometimes there'd be a group of people. And we approached a group of students, and we said, "Hey, we're doing the survey." And I said, "Sure, we'll do it." And the survey was entitled Spiritual Thinking of Today's College Students. So what we'd do is we'd start out and say, "Hey, we're just going to do some word association with you. And so as soon as we say a word, you just say, well, the first thing that comes to your mind." And so we'd kind of have our pencil ready. What we'd do is take their name first. And so this particular group would say, "Hey, what's your name?" And so they'd give us their name. And then we got to one girl, and she said, I said, "Okay, hey, what's your name? What year in school are you?" She said, "My name's Milk, and I'm a sophomore." And people around her kind of chuckled, like, "Okay." I'm like, "Okay, Milk, you know." And then the guy next to her kind of caught on. He's like, "And what's your name, man?" And he's like, "T-Bone." I'm like, "Okay, T-Bone." So I'm like, "Okay, this is all right." So I'm like, "Okay, guys, like I said, we're just going to say a word, and you just say whatever comes to your mind." So we'd say, like, "Money," you know, and they'd say "wealth," or they'd say "have none," or they say "broke," or whatever, you know. "Responsibility," you know, and they'd say "hate it," or "too much," or "overburdened," or whatever. "Heaven," you know, "hell," "truth," "Jesus." And I remember this particular girl, I said "Bible," and she said right away, she didn't hesitate at all, she used an explicative, and it started with an S and ended with a T, and it's kind of like dung. And I'm like, "Okay," so SH, you know, wrote it down. And so I kind of felt from her this, you know, a little bit of pushing me away, pushing, maybe not even me away, but there was something going on within her. But it was okay. I'm like, all right, that's, you know, hey, she's being honest. If that's how she feels. And so it's interesting, though, that as we would begin to talk with this group, we'd go through this word association, and it was great because word association got them talking about, we could get a feel for where they're at. You know, when she responded to Bible in the way that she did, I could kind of sense, okay, now I kind of know where she's at. But as we got into it, it's interesting that as we sat with groups, oftentimes what would happen is people would either begin to leave because they had class, or you know, they just weren't interested. They would finish their cigarette and they just like, okay, I'm done. See you later, guys. You know. But what was interesting is that Milk stayed. And she kind of, you know, as we got further into the questions, we ended the survey, and then we continued to talk with her. And there were several that stayed, you know. But what happened is, with her, something began to change. It was almost like with Milk, there was kind of like an eggshell around her that was like pushing things away, pushing God away. But really inside, there was a heart that was searching. There was a heart that was longing for something. And so that day we left and we came back maybe a week later and we saw them again. And this time when we came up to them, they were like, yeah. And there were some other people sitting with them. They're like, these are our friends. You know, we weren't really their friends, but they're like, this is our friends. So we're like, they had softened up a bit. And I found out that Milk's name was Becky. And, you know, wasn't Milk after all. And so we began to sit with her. And we just began having a conversation. We got back into the Bible. And we started talking some more. And then one time, Becky said to me, hey, what is it that attracts you to Jesus? Like, why do you follow him? And I said, and I want to describe Becky to you. Becky was, she looked a little bit hard. She looked different, okay? Looked different than from how I dress. I dress, you know, typically how I dress, real conservative, you know, pretty plain Jane. But Becky had, like, you know, several earrings going around. She had, like, she wore dark clothes. Kind of, I guess, emo, the word emo wasn't around then. But I guess you could describe her as kind of emo looking and had dark makeup and kind of funky hair that was sticking up like this. And I could sense that there was something within Becky there was a hole in here. There was something that she was missing. And she knew it. And she was looking for it. And she looked at me and she said, hey, why do you follow him? Almost as a test, like, what is it that you, are you like a robot? Do you like, are you part of this? I think she was kind of like against this organized religion, kind of like this is a bunch of, you know, just a bunch of people who like go to a building and follow a bunch of rules. And I said, Becky, you know what? The reason why I follow him is because he took me exactly the way I was. I said, Becky, you don't have to dress like I do. You don't have to talk like I do. Becky, you don't even have to go to the same church I do. I just want you to know that God loves you. All right? She didn't like receive the gospel right there. She didn't, but she was open. God was, there was something that was in, that was moving inside her that was opening her up to his word. And God kind of allowed me to see inside of her, to see that she was kind of what we'll talk about today. She was poor in spirit. She was hungering, kind of like the songs that we, one of the songs that we sang this morning. Becky's heart condition was in such a way that she was at least open to hearing about God. Okay? Well, the passage that we're looking at today, this morning, talks about this. It talks about this heart condition that each of us has to come to at some point to be open to following him, to be open to receiving him, to open to his blessing. Okay? It seems like that when we look at our God, he is attracted to weakness. He's attracted to those who are unlovely. He's attracted to those who are broken. And it's just like God is like a bee to a flower. He just to those who are broken. Why don't we take a look at our passage this morning? But before I get into our passage, I just want to share with you just a little bit of background. Just so you know where we're at in Luke. Jesus' ministry is increasingly gaining popularity, and we'll see it in the passage that's coming up. There's people from all over different areas coming to hear him out. His healings are getting out. The word is getting out that there is someone out there who has power, who can heal people, and who his teaching is different. Same token right now in his ministry, this is at least up to Luke 6, there is increasingly also opposition to his ministry. Last time we left off, he had just healed a man on the Sabbath. And amazing as it is, there are people that said, "Hey, we just saw you heal someone, but we want to kill you. We want to hurt you because you're going against God's laws." So there's increasing opposition to his ministry. And also, just now, right before this passage, Jesus went up onto a mountain and he prayed all night to choose the 12 apostles. And so what is happening now is that he is coming down from the mountain and says this in Luke 6, "When they came down the slopes of the mountain, the disciples stood with Jesus on a large level area, surrounded by many of his followers and by the crowds. There were people from all over Judea and from Jerusalem, as far north as the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon." Again, his ministry is expanding and people are hearing about him. "They had come to hear him and to be healed. And Jesus cast out many evil spirits." It's amazing how Christ's ministry was not just words. It was not just talking about, "Hey, love people. Christ, one of the things I love about him the most is that his words were coupled with actions. He was healing people, and people knew it. Everyone was trying to touch him because healing power went out from him, and they were all cured." So after the 12 disciples were chosen, what happened is, again, they're ascending down, and they reach this plateau, and all these other followers are coming down the mountain. The title of my sermon is "The Sermon on the Plain." It could also be called "Sermon on the Plateau." Many of you have heard the sermon on, probably more familiar with the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew. Well, this is Luke's kind of equivalent version to that. And many think that basically Luke and Matthew are talking about the same occasion. You know, it's talking about they're on a plateau or plain. They're still kind of on the mountain. And so once Jesus gets everyone on this plateau, they all kind of gather and they're listening to him. He then turns to his disciples and said, "God blesses you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is given to you. God blesses you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. God blesses you who weep now, for the time will come when you will laugh with joy. God blesses you who are hated and excluded and mocked and cursed because you have identified with me, the Son of Man. When this happens, rejoice. Yes, leap for joy, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were also treated that way by your ancestors." So he goes out through these different blessings, these different beatitudes, these different declarations of whom it will be blessed, all right? And let's start with the first one. He says, "God blesses those who are poor, for the kingdom of God is given to you." Now, I can say I've never seen anyone who couldn't buy food, who couldn't afford food, or couldn't afford clothes, who was like, "Woohoo! I am poor! This is awesome! I have no money! This is great! Can't wait to be more poor than I am now," you know? I've never met anyone like that who's just like, "Gosh, it's great to be poor." And yet Christ says, you know, blessed are those who are poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And it's not that read this passage, you might think, well, is it that every poor person is somehow got an in with God or going to heaven? That's not the case. Or it's not that all wealthy people have no chance of inheriting the kingdom of God. It's just that we've talked about this a little bit earlier, like in Luke 4:18, where Jesus says, I've come to help the poor, to free the captives. It's just that the poor, if you look through the narratives, it's the poor, they're in a spot. They're in a spot where they recognize their dependence, right? In some ways, unlike us who have a lot of money, the poor in some ways have an advantage because they're already in a spot of dependence. You know, we've seen, maybe just touched on a little bit, when we go to Grace Centers of Hope, we can see that there are some needy people there. And most likely the people at the Grace Centers of Hope recognize their need. That's why they're there, right? They're looking for grace. They're looking for help. They're looking for change. So, it is a bit easier for the poor to understand their need for Him. And so that's what Luke is talking about. He's mainly talking about, or he's talking about, those who are materially poor will inherit the kingdom of God. But there's also a spiritual aspect of this poverty which is addressed. God is not only stretching His hand out in promise to those who are physically distressed, but those who are spiritually poor as well. And if you're a Christian at some level, everyone in this room who's a believer has come to this understanding at some level that we're poor. We're in need. This is what Paul says. He says this to the Church of Corinth. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God deliberately chose the things of the world that the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. He chose those who are powerless to shame them. And so, like Becky, you know, she was in this spot. She was in the spot where at least she recognized that there was something that she was missing. There was something that caused her to be hungry. There was something that she realized that I never got to know Becky to the point where I could find out what in her life made her realize that she was in want, that she fell short, that she was in need. But when I looked at her, when I talked with her, it was clear that she needed something. And so maybe you're in that spot now. Maybe in your walk, as Luke prayed, he said, look, there are many of you coming to this room this morning. We're all in different spots in our spiritual walk. There's some of you who are walking really close, and you're like, maybe just you who are walking really close, and you're like, maybe just tracking steady with God, and you're doing great. You're feeling, you know, you're feeling like, hey, life is going well. There's some of you who are maybe distant from the Lord and saying like, just maybe kind of walking at a distance from God, and maybe even moving wayward from Him. And there's some of you that are even close, that maybe even be walking with Him, but still feel like something's wrong. Like, I'm close to you, I'm walking with you, I talk with you, I pray, but I'm sad, I'm broken, I'm missing something still, even though I walk close with you. Well, Christ says that there's a promise. There's a promise for you in this. That those who are, you may be walking close with them, but those who are poor, the kingdom of God is given to the poor. The kingdom of God is given to you. There's a our church, my last church in Arlington Heights, has been building a church building for years now. I don't know how. I wasn't here for this building project, but as you know, so many church projects, or maybe you've even remodeled your houses, they don't go as planned. And so every once in a while, I'll look at our website back in Arlington Heights, and I'll see the construction and where it's at. And right now, the building, at least some of the pictures, it is a completed building. Like, you're like, hey, that looks like a church now, you know? But this church has been, you know, battling with the city and the codes, and they have to go back and forth, and just like banging their heads. But they started this building project when Sarah and I were back in Chicago. As they look at this place of worship, they're meeting in a school, much like you guys did at OCS. So every Sunday, probably today, they're still at Olive Elementary School. But for them, the kingdom of God is like their church building. In a sense that God says, if you are poor, if you are in need, and if you look to me, the kingdom of God is given to you now. So the church building for them, the people in the church look at the church. They're not in the church yet. But for them, their minds, it is already a reality that they are worshiping there. Get what I'm saying? As they see themselves, and maybe this happened for you when this church was being built. Did this church get built like in a year? No? A long time? Okay. Yeah. In their minds, they are already in that church. I wish I had a picture of it so I could just show it to you. But they are already worshiping there. Even though they're at the school today, they are ready to worship there. And I'm looking for one day the invitation saying, Pastor Brady, we'd like to invite you to the opening of our new church building on such and such date. And every once in a while we'll call someone who's back at the church and talk with them. Is the church done? No, it's still a few months away. But for them, the reality of the worship in that church is already there. God says to us, the reality of heaven is already now. Okay, it has already begun. If you've already are in a relationship with Him. Last night we had Joe Chalufo and Chris, his wife, come in and share with us about prayer. And during part of it, Chris shared about a story about how she was, in a sense. She was practicing prayer, but she was, in a sense, already living in the kingdom of God, or she was experiencing part of the kingdom of God. She shared this. She said, you know what, when I was a kid, I remember the story. She's like, I had two sets of grandparents. One of them I really loved, and then the other set of grandparents I hated. I didn't enjoy them at all. She said, when my grandparents would come to my house, the grandparents that I didn't like, basically I would kind of go off into another room. I wouldn't really even say hi to them. And she said, what I began to do, though, as I matured, she said, when I got a little bit older, I realized that God was calling me to pray for them and to love them. And so she began to pray as though that God was calling her to love her grandparents. And she began to pray. She said, Lord, help me to love my grandparents. Help them to come to know you. And what happened? She said it was amazing. She said, I prayed for them for years. And eventually, I would go out. God began to change my heart. And I would go out when my grandparents came. I would go out and said, hey, Grandma, Grandpa, you know, and she'd give them a hug, and she said, I love you. And she said, she even said last night, she said, I didn't really even feel like I love them. And you may say, well, that's insincere, isn't it? That I don't really, she's telling her grandparents that she loves them, but she doesn't feel it. And you say, that may be insincere, but what Chris was doing is she was living out what she wanted to see. She was living out the kingdom of God, okay? She was living out what was supposed to be. All right? And that's what the kingdom of God is. Living out and realizing that heaven is already partially here. So you may be poor in spirit. There may be something that you may be anxious about. You may be going through a downtime or depression. You may have a sin that you struggle with. And it's constantly battling you down. But what God is saying is, go ahead and live like the kingdom is here. If you struggle, you can say, look, Romans says that we have been freed from sin. We're no longer a slave to sin. So I'm going to go ahead and live as though I'm freed from that. If you're struggling with anxiety in your life, worry, the Bible says in Ephesians that which is about anything but in prayer and petition, submit your request to God, and the peace of God will come over you. Okay? So go ahead and live as though you are the kingdom of God. All right? Here's a couple of other blessings or beatitudes that Luke. Next to beatitudes. It was a perfect song that kind of Luke had us sing. Said this, hungry I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I'm empty, but I know your love does not run dry. So I wait for you. I've got a relative. I could say confidently that he has been in this state, the state of hunger, for most of his life. I have this relative, dad. And his dad was kind of absent from his life, and so as I watched this this relative of mine, you can see that he has been. This is him right now. He is hungry, like he has. There's some. Probably the same of us. You have been longing to hear from your parents' words. You know, I don't know. Maybe for you it's words. Maybe it's you've been longing to hear parents some way that are proud of you. Maybe even not through words, but through some sort of actions. Maybe you grew up with a parent or grown up with a parent who's, you know, a workaholic, not an alcoholic, but a workaholic. Looking for just some sort of affirmation from your parents. Because our parents, just like us, fall short, right? And so maybe that's caused you to be. It's just being accepted. Cool. Looking for a circle of friends. There's some of you in this room who are like looking for or hungering for some sort of connection or friendship that you don't have right now. But Christ says you may be living your life now, all right? But if you track with him, if you follow in my walk with the Lord, I've struggled with saying, "Hey God, I'm walking with you right now, and I'm tracking with you right now, and I'm a Christian, you know? I've got the Spirit of God in me, I go to church, you know, I read my Bible, I pray, but yet why is it that I still am not, you know, not completely filled, not completely satisfied?" There's the answer, you know? At least this side of heaven, we're not going to be there quite yet. But God comes with it. But this beatitude comes with a promise that if you hunger for Him, He will actually satisfy you. You will be completely filled at some point. I've got to confess this last beatitude. I had problems with, because here in the United States we just don't experience it very much. This last beatitude says, "God blesses you who are hated and excluded and mocked and cursed because you identified with me, the Son of Man. When that happens, rejoice. Yes, leap for joy, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were also treated that way by your ancestors." I say, like, when it comes to this passage, maybe some of you could share, if we were to take time to share testimonies, maybe some of you have. A couple examples in my life, but when I think of the, you know, I may have heard some side comments here or there, but it's not like God is saying through this whole passage is He's setting it. What Jesus is saying through this passage, He's beginning to set us up for how He wants us to be. Next week we're going to be talking out of the passage about Christ having us love our enemies. In order for us to even begin to think about loving our enemies, Christ wants us to know that you are. That His followers are accepted. That you may be looking some way, in some form, for acceptance. But He starts out by saying, "You know what, brother, sister, son, daughter, you're accepted now. You may not feel it right now. You may be in a situation where you're looking for this acceptance. You're looking to find someone who will affirm you, who will, you know, love you." But Christ is saying, if you are in a state where you are down, where you are depressed, where you are anxious, where you are hungry, He says, that is the best place to be. Because I promise you that you will experience the kingdom of God now in bits and pieces. And I promise you that someday, that you will be satisfied. You will be full. Why don't we close in prayer, and then I can bring up Luke for the response song. Father God, Lord, we thank you that we can stand firm in these promises. That right now that we can experience the kingdom of God in small ways. Whether it through fellowship, whether it be through praise, whether it be through our times in your meeting with you, we can get a foretaste of a small sample of what heaven will be like today. Father, there may be some in this room this morning who, you know, come to church, put on a smile, put on the face, and act like things are fine, but Lord, invariably there's someone in this room now who is poor in spirit, who is battling week in and week out. Father, I pray that your spirit would minister to this person or persons. Pray that your spirit would let them know that they are loved, they are accepted. You are committed to them. You will never leave them or forsake them. And that there is promise for them that we can trust and that we can stand firm in. That's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.